Thank you for listening to this A&O podcast series on how to make hydrogen projects a success. My name is Jochem Spaans and I'm a partner in our Amsterdam Projects Group focusing on industry and climate change. In this three-part podcast series, we will share our practical experience doing hydrogen projects in the Netherlands and globally, update you on developments in the Netherlands, and discuss our lessons learned. In this second episode, preeminent regulatory expert Marinus Winters will give a regulatory update on hydrogen in the Netherlands. First of all, Marinus, could you perhaps start by setting out what the ambitions of the Dutch government are?
Yeah, thanks, Jochem. Yeah, indeed, a regulatory update. The first letter, the policy letter of the Dutch state, the Ministry of Economic Affairs, is already 2 years old. And what the government wanted to do is, in effect, building their policy on four pillars. And the first thing that the government wants to do is to come to a cost reduction mainly for electrolyzers and to scale up the electrolyzer production capacity. Another element is working on the sustainability of the demand side. So the industry, in fact, needs to decarbonize and needs to work on sustainable solutions. Another element of the policy is working on the legislation, and I will talk about that in a minute. And the fourth pillar, in fact, is supporting policies such as international cooperation. There's mainly international cooperation as the fourth pillar of this policy. Then in June 2021, that's half a year ago, the government issued the second letter and said that the government wants to make a principal decision in relation to the infrastructure, so that GasUnie, the current TSO of the gas grid, will be preparing for the infrastructure for gas. Then in December there was another letter, and that was in fact in the together with the decarbonization package of the European Commission, which was explains more about the highlights of the market regulation, and I will talk about that in a minute in more detail. Recently, this was this week, the government started the consultation on what the market expects from hydrogen, and also what the market expects for the different roles in the market. And all those letters and all still are working to the ambition that in 2025 there should be 500 megawatts of electrolyzer capacity and 3 to 4 gigawatt in 2030. And what that actually means is that 3 to 4 gigawatt in 2030 is that it also means that 3 to 4 gigawatt offshore wind capacity should be constructed in on top of the current 11.5 gigawatt offshore wind target that we have as the Netherlands. And the reason for that is if we want to make sure that hydrogen is renewable, then there should be what the European Commission says, there should be an additionality of renewable capacity in order to avoid that renewable electricity capacity will be steered away for example, the supply of renewable energy to, for example, to households. So that is in fact the ambition, and I think it's important to note that in July, the European Commission presented the Fit for 55 package. That is a very big package, and we gave some other webinars on that topic as well. So I don't want to explain too much about it. But part of the Fit for 55 package is the amendment of the Renewable Energy Directive. The Renewable Energy Directive, the purpose of that directive is to mainstream, in fact, renewable energy. And one of the most eye-catching obligations in the Renewable Energy Directive, at least amendment, is that in 2030, 50% of the hydrogen used in industry should be renewable hydrogen. And there's also another target that 2.6% of renewable hydrogen should be used then in the mobility. And that is currently under negotiation. And coincidentally, I saw that yesterday. France is now is leading these negotiations, and it seems that this target of 50% for 2030 will be reached in a two-step approach. Having said that, it leads to an increase of demand for renewable hydrogen in 2030. And the Dutch government already made an assessment what that actually means. And that means that will be another that we need to have an 8 gigawatt electrolyzer capacity if we want to produce the hydrogen, the renewable hydrogen into the Netherlands. And if you convert that into to the offshore wind capacity, that means an additional 6 gigawatt offshore wind capacity also in 2030 to reach that goal. And the government also indicated that if you compare the production of renewable hydrogen, if you compare that with CCS, so in fact blue hydrogen, that leads to an additional cost of 250 euros per avoided ton of CO2 emissions. So all in all, the Fit for 55 package means an increase of our targets for 2030. And another important thing to mention is that what Willem also mentioned is that here in the ARA region, so in Northwest Europe, there's already 60% of the hydrogen demand here. So the import of green hydrogen is very important for this region. So it's also important for the Dutch government to prepare for that import. It is estimated now for approximately 40 gigawatts renewable hydrogen in 2030. For example, the Dutch government already also has cooperations with Portugal and Japan to import renewable hydrogen from those countries. And the Rotterdam Harbor is already busy with developing an infrastructure for that.
That's a great overview, Marinus. It is great to see that we are setting some ambitious goals here. But it begs the question, however, how are we going to achieve those ambitions?
There are two things to say about it. It's, of course, money. And it is enabling projects more from a practical point of view. What Willem already mentioned, there is a huge amount of money available for the development of electrolyzer capacity, but also for the infrastructure of hydrogen. There is already an existing subsidy, which is the SDE++ subsidy. But the issue with the subsidy is that the full load hours, which will be subsidized for the production of hydrogen, is quite limited. And it has to do with the additionality issue, in the sense that there is not enough at the moment, there's not enough renewable energy capacity available to produce hydrogen for 8,600 hours per year. So at the moment, there's a subsidy available for approximately 3,500 full load hours per year, and that will increase in the coming years. I saw that for last year, for example, there have been two applications for this subsidy, but the installed capacity is rather limited. Then there are a couple of subsidies available for the production of hydrogen. There's, of course, the Climate and Transition Fund, which is in total 35 billion euro. That will not be available for hydrogen. It is approximately 22 billion according to the coalition agreement. But according to journalists, it will be around 15 billion for hydrogen. There's also the Groeifonds for the Dutch viewers. That was the Wopke Wiebens Fonds. Last year, there have been allocated a subsidy of 73 million, and there are still 265 reserves, so that makes approximately 338, and that is also for demonstration products and R&D. Now, there's the scale-up subsidy, which will be tendered this year for 250 million. There is a 35 million for the IPCEI projects, and there is already a 17.5 million for innovation, which has already been granted. Now, and in addition to that, there are incentives for the infrastructure. So there is this 750 million for gasoline, which is already reserved. And there are a couple of subsidies for storage and filling stations available. And there is, last but not least, there is the possibility that the Dutch government applies for the recovery and resilience facility for at the European Commission. And the Minister of Economic Affairs, they sent a letter in which it was worked out that approximately 2.5 billion could be applied for that subsidy at the European Commission. So there's a whole lot of money available, and that sometimes it also leads to criticism, that it's too much money, and it should be monitored by the government very thoroughly. So that's the money part. The other thing is that from a European perspective, European countries can apply for the IPCEI projects. The government notified 25 projects now to the European Commission. And if you add up the production, so all the green projects which are applied for by the Dutch government, then you add up to approximately 1.7 gigawatt of electrolyzer capacity. So, then we are approximately halfway of the ambition of 3 gigawatt in 2030. As I said, it's 25 projects in total which have been notified to the European Commission. And it is expected that the first 13 will be announced soon by the European Commission, which will be eligible for this IPCEI status. And what it in short means is that it leads to an advanced permitting, and it also makes available subsidy for those projects.
Well, I think you've given a glimpse of the potential for growth in the hydrogen market. My final question is on market regulation. What stands out for you?
In this respect, I think it's important to note that the European Commission also published their decarbonization package in December, which is in fact an amendment of the current gas directive. It not only deals with hydrogen, but also with renewable gases. And this amendment of this gas directive is quite similar to the clean energy package, which we saw a couple of years ago. And the main purpose is to stimulate, in fact, the competition of renewable gases, such as hydrogen. But all in all, you could say that the whole market regulation is very similar to the market regulation of the current gas players. So what I listed here is for every player on the market, so the network operator, a terminal, and the storage, and also the producers, what is in there in this draft. And for the network operator, what the Commission now foresees is that there should be a regulated third-party access as of 2031. It is also in principle they want to oblige that there will be ownership and bundling for the network operator, but at the same time there should be a legal bundling between network operators for hydrogen and for gas. And as I said, the Dutch government considers to appoint Gasunie as a network operator as of 2025. I don't think it's necessary to go into detail of all the different regulation for the different players. For terminals and storage, it is less stringent as for the network operator, but it is similar to LNG terminals, for example, and also to gas storages and to gas storages. Now, let me then finalize with a couple of remarks for production. In the Netherlands, the government is very strict on the activities that network companies can do and the commercial production can do. So it's in principle, network companies cannot be active in the production of hydrogen. However, this is also still part of the consultation which the government just started. The consultation is also meant to see how the market perceives then the different roles, and that can be brought into the negotiations of the decarbonization package of the European Commission. Last but not least, it is also good to mention that for production, there is already now the draft act, which introduces the guarantees of origin for renewable fuels of non-biological origin, such as hydrogen. That is also is only an acknowledgement within the European Commission. And it is also good to mention, I think, that the market is now very much waiting for the delegated act of the European Commission, which explains when hydrogen is green or renewable hydrogen. And that brings me back to the additionality point, which is also relevant under the current SDE subsidy. There should be an additionality in the sense that new renewable power should be brought online. It should also, not older than 24 months, also not subsidized. That is the way of thinking how the Commission looks at when hydrogen should be considered as renewable hydrogen. So that is in fact what I wanted to say about the regulatory update. If I may allow then the final remark, it's all to of course new technology. But from a legal perspective, you could argue that there are much similarities with for example, for gas, but also for wind farms and solars. The subsidy is important. The market regulation for networks is important. So it's new technology, but from a legal perspective, similarities. That is what I want to say, Jochem.
Thank you, Marinus. Super interesting to learn where we are heading in terms of regulatory developments. We're no short of ambitions, but it sounds like we do need quite some market regulation still, which actually urges me to have you make one additional final remark, because I do have a burning question. Do you think market regulations and ambitions will be reached in time?
No, it will be a challenge. If you look back, we're now already 2 years busy with thinking about it, and we're now consultating the market. So brings me a bit nervous. But on the other hand, Gasunie is already busy with preparations, and I think the market, there are a lot of initiatives. So why not? If the subsidy will be made available, then can also go very fast, I think.
Thank you, Marinus, for your thorough story. And thank you for listening to this second part of our podcast series on hydrogen. You can find the other two parts on our website. In the next episode, we will focus on the experiences we've built in the Middle East and Asia PAC. Should you have any questions, please check our website or contact Marinus Winters, Charles Honnay, or me, or of course your regular A&O contact. We hope to see you soon during one of our other events.